Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of
memories.
Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I
long
what's more to be.
What's more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I
long
what's more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you asking, Father, for your concern for each and every one of us. And your love, Father. We're asking, as we get into your word this evening, that the Holy Spirit will come forward, Father, and bring to us the truth of your word. So that we, Father, can grow in strength and faith. And that we can walk upon that pathway of righteousness to make heaven our home throughout eternity. Now, Father, be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. We're going to be getting back here into the book of Acts. We're moving right on through it. But we've been dealing the last several services with Paul and how he's standing accused, and through his years of being being bound. All because of his belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to be in chapter 26 tonight, and we're still dealing with this. But it lets you and I know how strong a man can stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom and for the word of the gospel. Now, in verse 1, then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. 2. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore, I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among my own nation at Jerusalem, knoweth all the Jews. Y'all know about my life, which knew me from the beginning. If they would testify that after the most strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. We know Paul has made that statement several times, that he and his family were Pharisees. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. And you see, most of it is because of the resurrection. Now, those of the Pharisees, most all of them believed in the resurrection. So it wasn't the resurrection they was mad at. It was just other things that he was teaching them that they was going to have to do and quit, come out from under the law and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And they wasn't liking things they was hearing. And we got a lot of them today. Now, he goes on here in 8. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. We know he did, because he really to bring people back that were following the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 10, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison. He's letting us all know, Paul was not a good man as far as the church and Christianity goes, because he was living more or less under the law and as a Pharisee, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. We know that because he was on his way to Damascus to bring more back when the Lord met him there on that road. And 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. And when, 14, and when we were all falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. 15. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things into which I will appear unto thee. He's letting him know right off that he's calling him into the ministry. Now, 17. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. He's going to send him to the Gentiles. 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Faith that is in him. And that's where our faith has got to be. We place that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that paid the price for you and I. He took all of our sins, all of our sicknesses and disease to the cross, where he was there for hours, bearing all that pain, so you and I could have life eternal in heaven with him. And also, it was making a way for us to serve him here on this earth and to be able to receive everything we need in order to go on and do what God wants us to do until he calls us home. He paid that price. Now, 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Something we all had to do and have to do in our lives, to repent and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us of all of our sins, all that we know and remember, and those that we don't even remember, that may have been forgotten. And he did for those that have already asked, and for those that will ask in sincerity, he will forgive. We know that without him and the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of things we can't do. In fact, very little things we can do. Because without them, we really couldn't get our next breath if it wasn't okayed by Almighty God. But he knows how long he can use us, how long we are willing to do what he will ask of us to do. 21. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. It's all been prophesied that it should come. Everything I've been saying and teaching. 23. That Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should raise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. He knows he's going to have to go to the Gentiles, but God has already told him. He let him know that, really, on the road to Damascus. 24. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning does make thee mad. They think he's mad, crazy. 25. Paul answers him and says, but he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. 26. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. He's speaking very plainly and very straightforward. 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. He knew the king believed in the prophets. Then Agrippa said unto him, said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be, he said almost. But he's had to be paying attention to what Paul said. But 29. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds, because he's still bound. He's letting them know that he wished they would all be like him. Other than that, 30. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with him. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, "This man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds." Then said Agrippa unto Festus, "This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar." But you see, he did appeal unto Caesar. If he hadn't, if God hadn't led him to do that, he may have been killed, because they tried to beat him to death and everything else. Now, chapter 27 and verse 1. "And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Andromachan, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. One Artatius, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself." Now they let him go far enough to refresh himself and to see some of his friends. "When he had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Sicily and Pamphylia, we came to Mara, the city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of the Alexander sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. When he had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Tindus, sailed under Crete, over against Salome, and hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them." You see, they had even been on a fast on this boat, because they had these days and feasts and things that they were still keeping. Now, "10, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, also of our lives." Now, he's given them warning, because God is letting him be warned. "Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in," when we talking there, talking about it really wasn't a place for them to lay over and stay in through that, through the winter time. We don't say why it wasn't commodious, just said it wasn't. "The more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lies toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south winds blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. 14. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called El Shaddan. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Folly, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing least that they should fall into the quicksands. And they struck sail, and so were driven. They wouldn't listen to Paul. Now they're in trouble. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. There's one part that Paul warned them about. They've had to toss some things overboard to lighten the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Now they are pretty sure here that they're all going to die from the way things are. 21. But after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. You're going to lose the ship, but there'll not be a one of us lost. God's keeping him informed. 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. God has given them all to Paul for safekeeping, to keep them safe. 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain isle. He even knew that before it happened. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing least we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast They cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, and they had let down the boat into the sea under cover, as though they would have cast anchors out of the fourth ship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Now he's telling them again. But now they're beginning to listen to him. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. While the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This day is the 14th day that we have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you." And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 216 souls. 200 and 60 plus 16 makes 76 souls. But how many was in that ship? When they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. When it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. They're going to try to put the ship up in there. 40. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoner, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship, until it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land, just as Paul had told them. Now they had all escaped, all safe land. We're going to stop there and hope that the next time when we pick up, we'll all be together again, back into this word. Because we're not done with this journey at all. Still got a lot more to see. A man that can stand so strong with the Lord. Now, let us pray. Father, once again we close your word. And we ask, Father, and give thanks for your word, for the Lord Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we ask to be kept safe, kept in health, and to have a restful evening and night, and can arise in the morning well and walking in the light, in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once again, Father, I ask the Holy Spirit to touch those that are sick tonight that will hear this. Touch them with that healing that has been given for over 2,000 years now. Because we are told that by his stripes we are healed. Stand on it, believe it, give him praise and thanks for what he's done for all of us. And listen as the Holy Spirit will try to guide you and guide you in the way of righteousness. And as you read your Bible and study your Bible, understand that the Holy Spirit will speak to you the words of Almighty God, giving you a greater understanding of this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the word of Almighty God, so that we can all make heaven our home. Now, Heavenly Father, be with us all. Watch over us all. Bring us back together again come morning, Father, at 10 a.m. and back in to your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, all. God bless. Walk with God. He'll walk with you. Good night, all.